go. It is the music of the Invincible Bo Jackson, and that signals another episode of Papa's Football Podcast. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio, hence the show's weird, creepy fucking name. Howling on the phone to much distortion is Brian Bolte, a.k.a. Choke on Ritalin, on Twitter.
Dicks out for Harambe, bitches.
There you go. That will never die as long as Brian lives. In studio, we have Howard Flood. You've heard him on the various Papa shows for years now, Howard.
It's good to be back. I'm repping for the U as we start a show on Santana Moss, man.
I know your wife is a huge U fan. Yeah. Now, I don't really gloat when they get their asses pounded like they did on previous Saturday.
That was fairly brutal, yeah.
This is, that was one of those weeks. I'm not a college guy whatsoever, but I understand, like, when big shit is happening in college. It was, like, kind of their playoffs before the playoffs.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Last Saturday, so I tapped in a bit.
ACC championship game kind of showed that they're still on the way back and they need a new quarterback.
Yeah, and I was watching briefly and I was like, this is just why I watch the NFL. And there you go. I cannot stand the amateur product. That's all there is to it. The only thing I like amateur is my porn, where I hate the pro stuff. So there you go. And in studio, we also have our buddy Nate. He's a listener. He reached out. He grew up listening to all of the JFK shit that I used to listen to in the day. So we're pretty much brothers at this point. Nate, yeah. Good to have you
here. Glad to be here.
Hop on whenever you want. So the show is based in D.C. We record in D.C. Brian grew up a Redskins fan. I grew up a Redskins fan. Nate, I'm going to assume you grew up a Redskins fan.
You don't want to hear about that.
No, okay. I do. I hate the Redskins.
I was going to say, Howard was raped by Jack Kent Cook as a child repeatedly. But if it weren't for that, he would have been a Redskins fan.
You go ahead.
So my whole family are Redskins fans, but just to be the opposite, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
You went that route.
Cowboys fan in the house. All right.
For the sake of spite, I respect that.
I was big on I remember when the 49ers beat the Broncos in that one Super Bowl. It was like 1990. 55-10. It was crazy. So I was following the 49ers all the way up to that season. That was the perfect game. That's like unbelievable how one-sided that Super Bowl was. So I'm not a 49ers fan today, but I kind of like base all game plans that I ever watch the NFL now on that one perfect performance by the 49ers that they just crushed John Elway.
Well, the 49ers were so big, I was a Redskins fan in theory, although I didn't really understand how loyal fandom had to be. So when it came time to buy a gerbil, he was named Joe Montana. I did have a rat named Dexter Manley. Like, I didn't know who these people were. I just knew the names from my youth, you know? Like, I wasn't really watching football every week, but I had Dexter the Rat and Joe Montana the
gerbil.
Yeah. Right. And I just want to say that Joe Montana never ate any of his children. That was his baby mama, Jessica.
Oh, wow.
Jessica did eat a couple of them. Three out of the ten. We had seven.
That's quite unfortunate.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
Can you drink a bottle of whiskey and go pick up Travis and then drive in the traffic if you're a Cowboys fan? Just do me a favor, dude. That way you both can die. Travis is not here. And fuck you because you're a Cowboys fan.
Brian's in a good mood today, I can tell. All camaraderie here. So the big story, again, given we're Redskins fans, and fuck, we'll grandfather you, and if you will, Howard, as a you guy, the biggest story.
I approve this story, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest story in the NFL this week, for my money, Clinton Portis and Santana Moss, both products of the U, revealing that they and Sean Taylor used to take a shot of Hennessy before each game. That was their pregame ritual.
Hey, Sean Taylor also went to the U. Like, these guys played in college together.
This was their thing. They're college kids. Now they're in the pros. They're making millions. And they're hanging together, and they want to take a shot. And the story came up in the context of those of you who aren't in D.C., don't follow the Skins intently. You probably don't even remember this name. But Jim Zorn was the coach of the Redskins for 2 years, approximately a decade ago at this point, right? Howard, we're talking 07, 08.
You're talking at a time when absolutely no one. I mean, people still don't really want to play for Dan Snyder, but this was the first time everybody was like, do not work for Dan Snyder.
It's not worth the fucking paycheck.
Zorn was the closest they could get to someone qualified to be head coach at that time, just because he had screwed so many.
I'm horny for Zorny still.
Yeah. Good old horny for Zorny. They started off that first year 6-2, I believe, then went 2-6. And the year after, I think they were like 0-19, 0-22, somewhere in that range. -4 and -8.
Yeah,
it was bad. Horrible. So Zorn was a corny motherfucker. Zorny was corny. There, I said it.
Zorny was corny.
Clinton reveals to Dan Steinberg. By the way, Dan Steinberg, I'm going to call out good old Chris Lingbach here. I believe Dan Steinberg is the real reason that Chris is afraid to say anything truly profane on air. Like, I think he wants to grow up and when he's an adult, become Dan Steinberg. I don't know if he plans to marry Mimi Steinberg. He should talk to that. Talk to Dan about that. But that is the reason he's scared shitless to say anything too raunch, which is funny because these guys were dirty as fuck in their interview. Point being, they come out and say Jim Zorn walks his, you know, middle-aged white dude ass over to, like, these young, like, 3 25-year-old brothers doing a Hennessy shot. Let's be honest. What, is 3 fucking good players on the team?
It's already midway in the season, too. Like, they've been doing this all year, and this is the first time he says something.
I believe a year before he got there, they had had this ritual the entire previous season, and going into this season, yeah, right where the 6-2 drops off, I want to say, if I'm going by the story, right where that fucking shit hit the fan, he walks up and he's like, guys, you're going to have to knock this off. Liquor before a game, that's not the way it's intended, fellas. That's not, you know, no, don't do that. And at that point, they're just like, who is this cornball fuck? My impression of every black guy is like a Patrice O'Neal impression. And they're done with it. The team then goes 2-6. And I wasn't exaggerating. Howard, Nate, like, those were like the 3 fucking players that did anything on that team at that time, as I recall.
The Redskins haven't been shit since Sean Taylor died. Like, that ruined your team.
Yes, it absolutely. We lost in the coldest terms possible. We lost an amazing first-round pick.
He would have been a Hall of Famer if he had gotten a full career. He still might. Like, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
They'll never do that. I mean, maybe if you want to do the whole, like, loophole Pat Tillman shit, where it's like the died a hero place, where, and it's like, you know, Pat Tillman holding his M16 in fatigues and shit, and then, like, Sean Taylor, as he was wounded mortally, probably, like, just legit in boxers holding a machete of some sort. Like, that's probably how he went down.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Hey, John?
Yes, Brian Bolton.
This is Chris from Northern Virginia. And can you really be surprised that some Miami University players took shots at Hennessy before a game?
You cannot. I mean, the whole joke about the U is that these are quote-unquote thugs, which is how I get to say the N-word on air. I love the use of thug. Thug! Dirty
thug! Yeah, no,
it's
the whole Catholics versus convicts legacy where...
Absolutely.
Yeah, people just... it's funny because everybody talked about, especially with the U documentary on ESPN when that came out, one of the big things that they harp on in there is when Penn State beat Miami for the national title. And everybody at the time was like, fuck Miami, like, they came out in fatigues before the bowl game, they were cocky, we're so glad they got beat. Fast forward 30 years, you want to know who was responsible for orchestrating the defense that beat Miami that year? Jerry fucking Sandusky. So everybody's screaming their heads off, like, we hate these black players on Miami, we're so glad that, and then it's like, fuck you, America, you got what you deserve, which is, you are rooting for a child rapist.
Oh, yeah.
This is how it works, like, people had so many misconceptions in the 80s of, like, what was good and right in college football.
Uh-huh.
Now they're paying for it because now we have, like, this 1986 championship Penn State team. Anytime you see, like, that team remembered, all I can think of now is Jerry Sandusky jumping up and down on the sideline because everyone's like, they pulled the great upset thanks to Jerry Sandusky.
Uh-huh.
That's a part of college football history that everybody now regrets.
No, it's completely, I call it the Roy Moore effect.
Yeah.
Where to achieve victory, if an asshole or two has to bleed, so be it.
Like, hey.
Yes, Brian Bolton.
Sandusky was way above the curve. He used to support the whole kneeling thing. He would have his recruits take 2 knees, though, prior to a game. So you guys need to back off of Sandusky. He was before the whole GQ magazine thing, everything. Sandusky, you know, they were taking knees to him. So back off there, Flood.
I don't want to go off on a tangent too much, but how much of that staff, like, it started, like, who was the dude who was up for the Tennessee job, Howard, for, like, one day? And then they're like, oh, this motherfucker saw kids getting fucked, too.
That was Greg Schiano.
Greg Schiano.
It's, like, a weird story of how that came about, because I read the report afterward. It was the redheaded stepchild that saw this initially at Penn State that reported to Paterno, who ended up testifying, Mike whatever.
Yes,
I can't remember his name.
No, no, no. Travis Dorward reported. Fucking piece of shit. Go on, I'm sorry.
The only evidence that Greg Schiano knew anything is that when this kid initially reported up the chain at Penn State in like the 90s about, or, you know,
and that guy legit walked in on Jerry Sandusky fucking pounding a kid ass.
When he told whoever his higher up was that what he saw,
yes,
the guy in response said, oh yeah, Schiano once told us something like that.
Holy shit.
But you don't actually, there's no evidence. This is the hard part. Like, you have somebody telling this kid that Schiano had a similar story, and you don't know, like, this is all hearsay, right? Like, we don't know exactly what is it that Schiano saw or did not see. He denies it. It's tough. It's like,
well,
but the story's been out since 2016 is the other bullshit part for Tennessee, where it's like, how did it get to the point where you didn't vet this guy? Because this is a 2016 article, yeah, in like a Washington Post, yeah, or New York Times.
But it only, yes, it only became a factor when these people wanted to cock block him from a job. Like,
it's
before
weird.
That, they're like, whatever, this article exists, the contents, but let him have his job. As soon as he's about to move up the ladder and potentially coach their team, which they don't want, they're like, no, 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 this kid fucking thing, this was revealed last year, and I'm throwing it at you now. All I can say is, unlike a woman saying that a man in power raped her, why would this guy lie about what Greg Schiano said? Sorry, I just had to lob that line in there.
No, it's just, it's hard to know exactly what Schiano, like, said to the other guy as he then reported. Like, this is a game of telephone. That's the hardest part. It's just, like, you need something a little bit more than that, I think, to really get on somebody's case. Like, all these. Yeah.
To be safe, let's just say Greg Schiano also raped kids. Just to be safe. We'll just put that out there. You heard it here first. Papa's Football Podcast. Greg Schiano, child rapist.
Terrible.
real talk though. Anybody else got a roll of quarters in their pants right now?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, just working the head. Just mealing it back and forth.
Just me. I'm in the West Coast. That's okay.
No, no. I'm working it like I'm rolling a donut hole right now.
Man.
Just back and forth between thumb and forefinger. So they reveal they're drinking. Zorn comes in, says, guys, better knock it off. Like, I'm just picturing him doing, like, Dave Chappelle's impression of a white man. Like, gentlemen, please, please put in a stop to this. My question to you is, you're the new guy in town. These are, again, my memory ain't all that great from God knows what I've done to myself, but those were, like, the three fucking players he had. Short of them revealing that they're holding a camera for Jerry Sandusky before each game, whatever they're doing, I'm not telling them to knock the fuck off. I mean, are you that...
I'm a rusty. Who was the quarterback at that time? Because that's possibly the only person who might have been able to, like, get Zorn's back at that point. And I'm just trying to remember.
It wasn't Grossman, was it?
Oh, man. It might have been,
that
man.
That was before Grossman, I think. Hold on.
Sean Taylor was, like, the defense. So that's, like, half your team.
Yes.
And then, yeah, when you're talking Moss and Portis, that's... like your top receiver, your top running back. So,
oh God. Okay, we're talking Jason Campbell years. Jason Campbell and Todd Collins.
Oh yeah, those are the years where the quarterback and Zorn always look confused. Like there was always this look of confusion on their faces as they like didn't seem to really understand how to win games.
It was all bad back then. Like you said, Sean Taylor was the only bright spot. That was the only draft move they really got right. Clinton was doing all right. They managed to salvage what would have been a lost pick with Champ Bailey just walking the fuck away.
Right.
And Santana was a good acquisition, I think, from the Jets.
I can't remember how he arrived at the team. I don't really follow this, like, terrible franchise that hasn't done shit in 25 years.
But you're talking the only things happening on that team. A fucking cornball. Like, I would have let whatever slide. Maybe I'm a little laissez-faire here. Maybe I'm used to fucking Pete and Travis and Chris and whoever the fuck else drinking before every goddamn episode to the point they can't function half of the time.
You probably told them, this is not what we do with the maroon and black.
Yeah. But I would have let it slide. I don't know. God knows it blew up in his asshole face.
It's funny because the flip is what? You had RG3 just basically, like, immune. Like, Dan Snyder just, like, came down from the office and said, RG3 may do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Like, RG3 is just like, whatever collegiate white girl wanders in this locker room for RG3's needs is okay. Like, that's just how it worked. Fucking art. Do you think that new girl who's with him, I believe knocked up by him, is like, shit, I should have worn a, should have had a condom that time. Like, this, that Subway money's long gone, isn't it?
How did she not know he was prone to injury beforehand? Come on, like, we all saw him. Like, she didn't actually start riding that until after we found out he had bird bones.
He was already, like, washed up at that point, and she was like, I'm fucking RG3. Like, it legit would be like me walking in here right now and bragging like I have a DVD of The Matrix. I'd be like, look at this new technology and this amazing new film. You'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? My God, I have a 4K that I'm playing my Xbox One S on. Get that dog shit out of here. You'd be like, no, it'll be fine. He'll heal and get a Jimmy John's contract. It'll be just like it was. God, that dumb bitch, whatever her name is, Greta. I think she's a Greta. I could be wrong. She's that white. She's Greta.
It's probably not too late for him in the CFL.
What is that, the Cripple Football League?
No, Canadian, man. Didn't you see the Toronto Argonauts just won the Grey Cup, man?
I know. And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, as I recall. Yeah, fucking, I wanted, 2 years ago when I actually gave a shit about the NFL, I was so into it, I wanted to, like, do CFL as well, like that month where it's just preseason or CFL.
Yeah.
I could not swing it. Like, it did not grab me. I wanted to, because it's, like, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Like, the timing is perfect. Like, it doesn't intersect so much with the NFL.
Especially,
and by so
like,
I mean, like, whatsoever.
Friday nights, you can just go back and forth between internet porn and CFL games. Like, there's that, like, perfect time of year where it's just, like, I need 10 minutes break. I'm going to check some CFL out.
Exactly. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Speaking of porn, we have an incredible loss in the porn world, not to tease the episode of Papa's Basement. We're recording right after this. There is a porn suicide that you can make all the jokes you want about 21 stroke salute later, anything like that. It's just a sad fucking story. This is a girl legit who, like, anytime she was in a feed and popped up, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I know that broad. She's hot. I don't remember her name, and now she's dead. I mean, that means she'll only have new scenes coming out for the next 10 years, given how porn chicks record. But, yeah, we'll get to that porn suicide of August Ames. Coming up on Papa's Basement. Back to football, though. And more death. Yes, Brian Bolte.
Good. I'm glad she did that. Her father is no longer upset about what she does for a living. Speaking of which, while I have the mic real quick.
Yes.
Some piece of shit keeps texting us.
Okay.
I need Travis Dord.
Oh, no.
Do you want me to respond to him? Do you want me to tell him to die? Fuck off.
You can text whatever. I can't hop on the phone during the show.
In his defense, he did share the information that the Redskins traded Laverenus Coles for Santana
Lav
Moss.
Coles, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought the swap was. They sent him to the Jets because we were sick of seeing Laverenus Coles have sex with Medea.
And who'd you say with Campbell? What was the other quarterback you named?
Todd Collins.
Okay, he put Brunel. Remember the Brunel days?
Brunel was a little earlier than that, but yes, that was also equally horrible, Travis. You get
you got the Jacksonville Jaguars sloppy seconds. That
and then
was
we got
hilarious.
The Eagles sloppy seconds, and then people are already thinking that they're going to try to grab Eli, which dovetails us right into our next story.
Seriously, before we go there, how bad are the Browns where they're taking, like, quarterback losers off the Redskins' hands? Because what, they took Campbell after you, and then they took RG3 after you?
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
You guys suck, but, man, the Browns are, like, the worst.
No, it's like I don't get laid, but I can look at Travis and feel like fucking John Holmes. Like, there's always someone to look down on if you work hard enough.
Oh, man. Shoot. This is what happens when people, like, bail last minute. I learned the hard way many years ago. Like, when I tell you I'm coming, I'm here.
Well, I'm not salty about it. Brian is salty as shit. And I'm one of those people, I'm so soulless. Like, if I see someone being bullied, I'm just like, hey, fag! You know, like, you're no reason. Like,
John,
people be like, do you know him? I'm like, no, but that other guy said mean shit, so I'm in.
You should see this text thread. God, Howard, pretty cold. Have sex with an AIDS patient. God, Howard, that was.
That's
horrible.
Weird. That sounds like one of your lines, but coming from Howard.
Oh, that was what I said to Travis.
Stone cold.
Sorry.
Stone cold. So Eli, do, Travis. The topic of Eli Manning joining the Skins coming up, and that could be a thing.
Shut up.
That could be a thing because Eli Manning was benched last week for Geno Smith, and I actually watched that game, and Geno was completely
Former Mountaineer, by the way.
Oh, look at this man over here pulling. We don't need you, Travis. This guy can pull weird shit, too. So.
And he can make it to the studio, you fucking faggot. Sorry.
It was a fucking debacle with Ben McAdoo, the former Giants coach, who got his walking papers on Monday after Sunday's loss. The organization, John Mara and Steve Tisch, co-owners, pretty much said, we're going to stand behind Eli now that the experiment failed, that one game experiment, and we see that swap at quarterback doesn't matter. Ben McAdoo's an idiot. By the way, I don't know about you guys. I fucking completely forgot this was McAdoo's third year.
I was only his second.
I was like, that's a first-year coach.
No, it was a second-year coach, I thought.
No, I think it's his third. He took them to the playoffs year one with Tom Coughlin's team. I believe they had an 11-5 record, made the playoffs, lost to Green Bay, wild card round. Didn't do shit last year, and now it is just the rails off, you know, like fucking Indiana Jones minecart with the boulder behind you on your way to hell. Like, that team is just going straight to the cellar.
No, man, he was 2 years.
Is he 2 years?
Yeah.
Legit?
Okay. He was the offensive coordinator for... Years,
yeah. Okay. My apologies. I thought I read elsewhere that he was a three-year guy.
Just because I saw... The crazy stat I saw is, like, he was the offensive coordinator for Coughlin. And then when he became head coach, they've never scored 30 points. In this, like, high-octane offenses in the NFL, like, era.
Yeah.
This guy who used to be an offensive coordinator couldn't get his team to score 30 points
in the last
2 years.
Isn't that what always happens, though? You promote a guy like Tony Dungy. You're like, Tony Dungy, defensive Nosferatu wizard. And then Peyton Manning just turns it into an offensive engine. And, like, the defense works 1 year, and they get the Super Bowl that goddamn year. Like, that happens so frequently. Like, I want to say that who's your dude on the Ravens?
Which guy am I? The
Ravens. Harbaugh. John Harbaugh?
Jim.
Jim. All
right. Wait, John,
Jim,
you're right.
John. Okay.
John.
John is a special teams dude, and he's, like, the only team. Someone brought this up, so don't think I'm smart here and put anything together, but he's a special teams dude, and he's actually got the Ravens like to be a top three special teams unit every fucking year he's been there. Huh. It's one of the only times I've seen someone who comes in and is like, well, this is my background, and the team actually functions there. That's how fucking confusing this is as a game. But Eli, the ownership stepped up big time, I think, behind Eli. It was just like, fuck it, this guy's on his way out anyhow in terms of Ben McAdoo. Fire him. Fire the manager. I can't remember the dude's name, who didn't even pick Ben McAdoo. Did not like Ben McAdoo, but was like, fuck it, manager's got to go anyhow. You've now got 4 games left. Eli starting again. If you're Eli Manning, do you angle to stay with this team at this point? See where they go? Like, they're going to get a new manager. It could be a lengthy rebuild. It could be an Eagles rebuild. You literally need to look 2 hours south if you're Eli Manning to be like, shit, that doesn't have to take too long.
He's never going to come to the Reds. Why would he come play for this loser franchise? In all seriousness, if he goes to play anywhere outside of New York, I think it's Denver because his brother played. And, you know, he's going to have, like, there's going to be an excitement factor if he went to Denver.
Yeah, but he doesn't have Wade Phillips' defense.
I'm just saying, like, if he's going to leave New York, I don't think he's going to leave New York because it's more important for him.
No, I hope he doesn't come to the Redskins. That wasn't some wishful thinking. That's just shit that's been bandied about.
Like, that's a joke.
I think he could... The logical conclusion a lot of people have drawn is he goes to the Jaguars, where Coughlin is in some sort of advisory capacity, much like, I want to say, an Elway to a Denver at this point for the organization, and could step in, immediately cuck Bortles out of his position, and you're talking a team that... could contend. I mean,
that's ridiculous, though. Like, you got Eli, what, for a couple years, whereas Bortles, you could sign long-term for 5. So I have a hard time believing that they're just going to cut their losses after picking Bortles top 5. Like, when you spend a first-round pick...
Hold on. Bortles is not a good quarterback. And you got Tom Coughlin as the vice president over there with Jacksonville. If he can talk them into it, that's where he'll go. If not, he can't go anywhere else because Eli is not a good quarterback. He's not a good quarterback. There's a reason that all their wide receivers are hurt. He he puts the ball up there and they get hurt because he's not protecting his wide receivers. I hope we don't get him in Washington, but I'd rather have him Kirk Cousins. Fuck him. I don't
Whoa.
Like Kirk Cousins.
Whoa, what the hell happened there?
Kirk Cousins is a piece of shit.
No, so you mean Travis Dorwood.
Travis Dorwood is the bigger piece of shit okay. than Kirk Cousins. But fuck Travis and fuck Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has the most fumbles in the NFL.
Really?
If you want me, if you want for a quarterback, he has 12. If you want mediocrity, put Colt McCoy in there and be mediocre. Kirk Cousins can throw the ball. He does okay. Yeah, he only has 8 interceptions. He has 12 fumbles. He's not good. He's not worth $34 million or whatever it is next year. Fuck Kirk Cousins. Fuck Eli Manning. He plays. He's going to continue to play for the New York Giants. I guarantee you guys. If you guys want to put money on it, I will. Jacksonville might make a play for him, but no one else is going to take him. He's not good. He's washed up. He's done.
I don't think he's going anywhere personally.
I think Denver at quarterback is awful. I think Eli would absolutely be an upgrade in Denver.
It would be an upgrade, but if you're not going to be able to talk me into going there if I'm a quarterback. That's a team that's a fucking wreck. Like, out of all the teams in the AFC West, they're the only one not, like, kind of technically tied record-wise for first. They're the only one not in on that 6-6 fucking daisy chain circle.
So much of it has to do with the shit house at quarterback. Like, they are just awful. Like, who's...
Yeah, but their defense has actively regressed. Their defense isn't what it was.
That might be the worst offense I've seen this year. I'm trying to think, like, yeah, okay, Cleveland. Cleveland's definitely worse than Denver. But I would never want to... I could not pay to watch Denver play Cleveland right now because their offenses are so pitiful. Like, that to me seems like the worst matchup today. You're just going to tell me, like, the two worst teams to watch in the NFL right now. It's got to be Denver versus Cleveland. Like,
I would say I hate the Bears more than... Not personally hate the Bears. I find the Bears the least watchable and I have
just,
for years.
I get so much enjoyment teams. Of watching opposing defenses just, like, load up and just crush Trubisky. It's just so enjoyable to watch him tank this, like, rookie year.
Well, there's a great Chicago Tribune article, I thought it was great, by Steve Rosenblum, and he's Jewish, so he's smart, Howard. And your wife's Jewish, so you can't disagree with him. Steve said, this article is titled, if you guys want to look it up, John Fox's latest dumb statement shows how he is hurting Mitch Trubisky's progress. And John Fox has said a lot. I'm going to read a bit of the article to, in essence, the end of that 49ers game. They were down, or they're up, I think, 14-12. And instead of letting the 49ers score, like 49ers are deep on the Bears in the end zone, John Fox lets them grind away time, kick a field goal, and get the fucking win. So I guess they weren't, yeah. So they were down 12-14. They win 15-14, I believe.
Right.
This guy makes the point that he should have let them march in the end zone, which a lot of people, this is not Steve having some crazy thought. A lot of football analysts are like, they should have just allowed the touchdown to occur. This is one of those situations where that goes down. And Fox simply says, we felt good about the block we had for a potential field goal. And Steve says, let's review. The Bears had blocked precisely one field goal all season. Robbie Gould had kicked 4 field goals already Sunday. The Bears hadn't blocked any attempt, and the field goal try the Bears insane head coach felt so good about blocking would be the shortest of the day for the kicker who used to work for Fox and the Bears and was familiar with the vagaries of Soldier Field, to the point he's the franchise's leading scorer. And the case is just made, like, let them in. Give Trubisky 90 fucking seconds, see if he can march down the field. If not, you're fucked either way. Like, let's be honest, dude. Trying to block, like, some 19-yard field goal, who are you fucking kidding?
I guess. The final flaw with the premise behind that article is, like, pretending that Trubisky's going to be good. I could be proven wrong, I guess, but from most of the articles I've been hearing, it's just most people are like, this guy doesn't look like he can play in the NFL.
I don't know if he's good or bad. I watched his first game. He was passable, but I think... To me, John Fox is just one of those dudes that will never win you a goddamn thing. Like, there's a lot of mediocre, middle-of-the-pack dudes. And then you have your Belichicks, who will fucking, like, could take a college team and win with them. Like, that's how I believe in his autism like crazy.
If you remember, like, John Fox took the Carolina Panthers into that that Super Bowl against Belichick.
Yeah, I won, too.
But that was an exciting fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, first half was one of the worst halves of football I ever watched, but, like, the fourth quarter of that game was awesome.
Yeah, and I'll give you that. Those Panthers were competitors for years. Like, that wasn't a flukish Super Bowl appearance, as I recall. They were in the postseason a lot.
Yeah.
But I think the game has passed him by, or he's just a little too conservative. I mean, this is a dude that, like, routinely during his time with Manning, people were making fun of his play calling and his game management decisions.
I get really tired of demanding Bears fans. I'm like, who are you?
Fuck
like,
yeah.
When was the last time you want something?
Oh, yeah. No. You've heard that shitty old joke, right? What's the difference between the Bears fan and Marty McFly? Eventually, Marty McFly stopped going back to 1985. I love that one. But no, it's completely. You're talking an institute. And you know what? They potentially could have had a lot more wins. For some reason, we were the cock block to those 80s Jim McMahon Bears. Like, if you look at their postseason losses, it was like every fucking season to a Joe Gibbs-led Redskins.
Yeah, because he won 3 Super Bowls and lost one.
Yes.
Like, he won a bunch. And, like, Joe Gibbs, yeah.
Yeah, he fucking grabbed them left and right. And just, they were always, we were the ones that dispatched them. I don't think they ever lost to the Niners. It was just always the Redskins taking them out. And it's funny when you have teams like that who aren't in the division, so you don't consider them a rival. Like, maybe the Seahawks. Like,
right.
When the Skins beat the Seahawks a couple weeks ago, that was my Super Bowl for the year. I was like, those cocksuckers, yeah. Those guys have ended the Redskins postseason so many goddamn times. No one really puts that together. I'm one of the few people that carries that hate torch. Russell Wilson, I know he's kicking ass, and he's, like, fucking amazing. Doing virtuoso work behind that O-line. I'm still like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you, Sean Taylor. What do we got left? Outline. I wanted to pick a couple teams that you think are going to break your heart. We're doing hot right now.
Wait, you want to look at teams that we think are going to flop, or who's going to win the Super Bowl?
We can do some Super Bowl picks, or we can just do who is hot right now, but you think is ultimately going to peter out. I know who I got right now.
You got to start with the Eagles, right?
I was going to say the Vikes.
Oh.
Old losing NFC Championship. Shit.
That's
tear
fair.
Everyone's hearts out. I'm just praying someone can take out the Patriots, because if the fucking Patriots win it again this year, I'll watch college ball. I'll gay porn on Sunday on our little state before I watch goddamn NFL again.
I will say, going back to your boy John Harbaugh, he matches up well coaching wise with Belichick. So I wouldn't say the Ravens can win the Super Bowl, but I would say they get the Patriots.
Well, the Ravens are getting very hot right now, which is a good thing, because I've always maintained the league was a lot more interesting to me when the AFC North was like source of competition. Well, okay, when it was three good teams in the Browns, that always fascinated me. To see the Bengals in the shitter, to see the Ravens kind of languishing, that broke my fucking heart, because I don't like seeing the Steelers run away with shit.
Right.
And them a mediocre team. See, to me, Tomlin is one of those completely against a great mind will just be out coached into the fucking ground.
And I think the Rapist Burger is a totally overrated quarterback.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. He's just a guy who can absorb damage.
Yeah.
Like, he's got at wideout some of the greatest weapons right now and an incredible running back. And we're still, yeah, Roethlisberger's okay. I wouldn't be upset if I had him.
The defenses were always great when he was winning Super Bowls, and so were the running backs on those teams.
Yeah,
so.
You're talking so many great moving parts, and yeah, no fucking shit he won with some of those. I don't know, so we don't have to do shit. We can just call the show, take a piss, and then start the Papa's Basement real quick.
How about one last thing? What do you guys think of Jared Goff?
Jared Goff, that would be
the Rams quarterback.
Rams quarterback under Sean McVay, who left the Redskins. Forever be damned his name.
Who's going to be the coach of the year?
Probably. He is kicking ass out there, man.
Have you heard that he calls the audibles for Goff? Like,
yes.
Whenever yes. There needs to be an adjustment at the line of scrimmage, an audible. His coach tells him what to do.
I have literally zero problem with that. Like, I know it's like mommy holding your hand, but I live at home, so apparently I have no issue with that.
That was just figured out recently, so it's going
to
be interesting to see.
It came out like last week, yeah.
I think defenses are going to start using it against them, where they're going to do multiple changes line of scrimmage because they're trying to run out the play clock.
Does the like a couple seconds for the actual snap?
No, but like if I think they're trying to paralyze Goff and confuse him, so defenses realize there's like this additional layer where they can fuck with him, because they know that the coach is like basically having to watch what the defense is doing and telling him, so they can continue to just like as they move, they're gonna force like the head coach to just constantly like throw in more audibles and basically there's a way
learn,
to
man.
It's a bad setup. Basically, it's much easier now that defenses know this to fuck with the Rams. So as far as teams that have been doing awesome that are about to get fucked, I think the Rams are about to get hit.
You think the wheels are coming off?
Yeah.
I mean, like the first few times I got laid, my dad would watch and critique and tell me what to do, and then eventually he left and I was fine. But I don't. You've got a little more. A ton to add. You sound right here. I'm not going to disagree. Just to make for good radio, I'm kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, yeah, sure.
That, let's be real.
Completely plausible.
I just have a total hard on whenever I watch Russell Wilson play. So
yes.
The Seattle Seahawks are going to win that division. That's where I'm going with this.
Win that, go how far in the postseason, you think?
Super Bowl.
Oh, you think we get another Patriots Seahawks Super Bowl?
I'd rather it not be the Patriots, but I could see it happen.
I'm so fucking disinterested when they make it to the Super Bowl because you know they're probably going to win. Like, odds are.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like,
Howard, it's not going to happen. The Rams are better than the Seahawks. If you look at the points for points against, their defense is tied, but the Rams offense is so much better than the Seahawks.
But Seahawks right now are a wild card, correct?
Yeah, it would be a much harder road for.
The Rams are 9-3. The Seahawks are 8-4. Don't get me wrong. They just beat the Eagles, which no one thought that was going to happen. They showed that they can hang with any team. But the Rams are the team in the NFC West. They're going to go. I don't see anybody else beating them.
Thing is, playoffs are different. You got second year quarterbacks with the Eagles and the Rams. I'm going to say that neither of them wins a playoff game this year.
Well, I'm going to say something profound that you've never heard anywhere else. Defense wins championships. There you go.
Okay, their defense points against. They're tied. 222 points against. They're tied.
I don't like it when you know stuff.
The Rams' defense is underrated. They have a very good defense.
And they've gotten a whiff of the playoffs in how many years? I think this is going to be like the first time.
They had the king of fucking 8-8 coaches, Jeff George, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it's going to be like the first time you touched a booby. They're just going to blow their load as soon as they get near the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're really going
to. To be fair, a playoff loss is horrible, and touching your first hit's fucking nuts. I still remember seeing my first hit in person. Pantera concert, 96. That was, described as the tits.
You got the Rams in the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is NFC West. You get the Seahawks, I get the Rams. The loser has to bareback Travis Dorn.
Oh.
Deal?
I don't know if Travis wins either way. Yeah. I'm not okay with that.
If you feel that those Seahawks are going to take the bet, man. We're going to put it live on YouTube. We won't show the actual penetration.
Live from Mexico. Deal.
I just want two seen in a while. That's all. And you know what? I'll count the Ravens among those we haven't seen in a while. That's all I want in the Super Bowl. Give me the fucking Vikings. Give me the Saints. I don't give a.
Let me tell you about the AFC right now. There are four teams with winning records in the AFC. We already talked about the Patriots. On top of that, you got the Steelers.
They're both 10-2, I think. Yeah.
Ravens are 7-5. And then out of the AFC South, you got the Titans and the Jaguars.
Yes. Who are both.
Come on, son. Like, you want to see Marcus Mariota or Blake Bortles leading the team into the Super Bowl? Like,
dude, I'm just so sick of the Patriots and Roethlisberger. Yeah. I'm so sick of both those squads. I'm so goddamn done with it.
So we're rooting for Joe Flacco. Is that where we are right now in the AFC?
Yes, I appreciate elite quarterbacking.
As elite as Eli?
Yes.
I'd rather see the elite Joe Flacco in the Super Bowl than the Steelers, the Patriots.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Mariota. Everyone you mentioned, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'd rather watch that.
I'm just saying, can they get there? Like, Flacco's been there before. I look at Bortles
Flacco,
and Mariota.
Maybe.
And I'm like,
Titans,
ugh.
Probably not. I mean, Jags, you have to figure at some point. God damn. Oh, wait, fuck. Like, Blake Bortles is their quarterback? Like, they'll just wake up, like, from a fucking spell. Like, if their shit will turn to pumpkin.
Here's what they got going for him. Leonard Fournette, everybody's saying that he's going to be Rookie of the Year.
I mean, they got a lot of dudes defensively, and
but their running back is hype. Like, he is so good. He is so good.
I mean, yeah, wouldn't you want to see that in the Super Bowl? It's fresh blood, man.
I hope. It's just, man, that's a long time from now. Like, that's a lot of football for a running back. Like, that takes a toll on the body, man. Like, you rarely have a running back that carries you all the way to a ring.
Well, this day and age, yes. But let me tell you the story of a man named Orenthal James Simpson. Who didn't win a ring. So
who didn't win in a ring.
Doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, I know what you're saying. The wear and tear of a year.
He beat a double homicide, though, so
that's
there's
true.
That.
Yeah. That's, I know which one I'd rather take. Like, Super Bowl ring or ass ring? Which one do you want intact?
Oh, shit.
I'll take my ace.
Speaking of double homicide, I hope OJ finds Travis Dorn and Joe Flacco in the same room.
Oh, my God. Like, is Joe having to fuck Travis because he lost a bet of some sort that you proposed?
I
multi rules.
Have to.
All right.
Fuck Travis.
All right. So the next, we've got 4 weeks left in the season. It's shaping up. I guess the last couple of weeks of this show, we can just rub our little cherubic sacks and be like, hey, who do we want? You know, fucking crystal ball. Who do we want in the Super Bowl? But for my money, I don't want anything we're used to in the AFC. Like, you being like, do you want the Titans rhetorically or the Jags in the in the Super Bowl? Fuck yes, I do. That'd be fucking great.
Yeah, me too.
God
yeah,
fucking damn, wonderful. That'd be amazing. Or the Chargers, the newly hot Chargers.
Are you Andy kidding? Dalton, your favorite. Andy Dalton, you want to see him?
The Red Rocket? Sure. Give me the Red Rocket. Fucking, what are the Bengals at record-wise? They have no in, right? Or are they actually
5-7?
Are you kidding me? So they're sniffing the ass of a wild card? Wow, I did not realize that. I thought they were so dead. Did they not open the season again like 0-4 or some shit?
I will say I want the Chiefs to miss the playoffs because Alex Smith is terrible.
They broke my heart. They fucking just duked all over the Patriots in their house to start the season. That was amazing. Kareem Hunt. K-Hunt was killer for weeks, broke our goddamn heart. No, the way that it's come off the rails for them, no one can root for them anymore.
So, boy, they've lost four. They've lost
something like five or six.
They were 6-2, and now they're 6-6. They're tied with the Chargers and Raiders. They're just taking a freaking dump right on track. Travis Dorr's chest. They are just
again,
horrible.
Stop saying things he'll enjoy. He doesn't deserve nice things.
I will say it would be poetic justice for Brian. You're living in San Diego now. It would be amazing for the Chargers to actually win the Super Bowl in their first in LA.
Oh my God, that would be. And then they cut to the Coliseum where 18 people watching the game on the jumbo screen just lose their mind.
Rooting for the other team.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you want to know how fucked LA football is right now, they are not the Chargers. The Rams are playing the Eagles this week, and Sean McVay is preparing as if it's an away game.
That's
like
amazing.
He's doing like silent counts and shit like that in practice. That's how.
Gotta love LA.
Fuck LA.
Oh man.
Fuck LA. Like Tool said, let the quake take it into the sea, man.
It's burning right now. It's okay if you guys are happy about that, but.
Oh yeah.
LA is not a NFL. Area. They like USC.
They like the Lakers.
They like the Dodgers.
Yeah, and.
And the Lakers. You're absolutely right. They don't give a fuck about NFL, with the exception right now that there's a. I think Lloyd hit this in your last show. There's a bunch of bandwagon fans that are jumping on saying they're. Hey, I was Rams fan from the beginning, back when they were in St. Louis. No, you weren't, shit dick.
Yeah.
You're jumping on the bandwagon. And the Chargers, who gives a fuck? They're in a fucking soccer stadium. We sold out. Great. Fuck off. You know what? You shouldn't have left San Diego. You know, there's a lot of upset people with San Diego Charger tattoos here in San Diego right now, and they should have never left. The people here still love them. I still see Chargers fans and hats and all that shit. There's no one in LA gives a fuck about the Chargers or the Rams.
Oh, no, man. It broke my heart. There was some... hot wife who used to post on Reddit who had just the lightning bolt tattooed above her pie. And, you know, it was like her handle was like San Diego takes any cock 69 or whatever the fuck.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, it's I felt for her when they moved because now that tattoo looks ridiculous as strange men fuck her while her husband watches. Now things are awkward. All right. Well, on that happy note, let's call it a day. I'm going to play the Tecmo Bowl music. Kick in Tecmo Bowl music. oh, that's cool. I'll just stare at the load circle and jerk off, much like the husband of San Diego Hotwife 69 as he watches his wife get her Thunderbolt plowed.
What happened to the old school music that you used to play from NFL films, man?
Oh, the Vince Lombardi power sweep?
Yeah.
We can do that. Give me 1 second. Well, this is cool. Load times. They're great. They make me sound professional. You know what? I left too much of the intro in, and so I abandoned it because it had this, like, little in this cut that I use right now.
Yeah.
So this is, I need to just cut it so that it cuts right to the ba, ba, ba. Here it comes. There's the old school. I figured the Tecmo is just more recognizable. Everyone, that was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter if you want to talk any of the football. If you wanted to watch us record this live episode, youtube.com/Papa's Basement. And, of course, pfpod.com to find every episode we have ever done. You can find the show on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find us tweeting links. Howard Flood, do your bit.
I'm at Basement Howard on Twitter.
Nice. Basement Howard, he's there with a nice little piece of art as his avatar. I love it. Brian Bolte, you are Choke on Ritalin. Where did Brian?
Yes, I am at Choke on Ritalin on Instagram and Twitter.
And Nate, you want to plug anything or just...
No, I do not do any social media.
There you go. That's
you.
A real fucking man right
Good
there.
Good for you.
He's like, I don't do anything except plug Travis Dorwood whenever I damn well want to.
All right. Like...
Right in his sticky rectum.
Oh, let's not assail his scent. That's just crossing a line. That's a little too much for my sense of humor. I'm sorry. Till the next one. We're out of here.